The next speaker is Leslie Coffey. He's a first-year doctoral student at the School of Public Health, UNC, Chapel Hill.
So today I will be speaking with you about U.S. immigrants experiencing chronic health conditions, prevalence of obesity, hypertension, and diabetes among racial and ethnic populations. Quickly, I have no relationships to disclose. Brief overview of the presentation. I will discuss some background information on my study and then talk about the methods and results of the study and with some discussions and implications of the study. Previous research has demonstrated that minority immigrants in general have better health status than their U.S.-born counterparts, and this holds true even after adjusting for certain factors, including socioeconomic status, healthcare access, and utilization. Several studies show that these differences between U.S. immigrants and native-born Americans vary in a number of health outcomes. So, for instance, minority immigrants have lower mortality from certain diseases and higher life expectancy. They also experience lower prevalences from certain acute conditions and chronic diseases. Here, it is important to note that these health advantages experienced by minority immigrants declines over time the longer they live in the U.S., and it reaches a point where it mirrors that of their U.S.-born counterparts. A lot of studies that have looked at minority immigrant health have been based on national level data sources. And these data sources contain relevant demographic information for assessing population differences in health status. These data sources are generally representative of most racial and ethnic groups. For example of the data sources include the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, the National Health Interview Survey, and the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. Here, I point out that a lot of these data sources do not have enough samples of immigrant populations to do any type of meaningful analysis, and those that do are often based on self-reported information. So the purpose of this present study was to identify a data source that included enough sample of a minority immigrant population and also was based on standardized medical examination measures. Objectives of the study include to examine the prevalence of obesity, hypertension, and diabetes among racial and ethnic populations in the U.S. Here, race and ethnicity includes minority immigrant status. Second, to examine the association between length of U.S. residency and obesity, hypertension, and diabetes among minority immigrants to the U.S. And third, to examine the prevalence of hypertension and diabetes among obese versus non-obese individuals. The hypotheses of the study are as follows. Compared with whites, U.S.-born racial and ethnic minorities will have higher rates of obesity, hypertension, and diabetes. Minority immigrants will have lower prevalences of these chronic conditions than other race and ethnic groups. Among minority immigrants, longer years of U.S. residency will be associated with higher obesity, hypertension, and diabetes prevalence than shorter years of U.S. residency. And rates of hypertension and diabetes will be higher among obese individuals than non-obese individuals. The present study is a secondary analysis of recent National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. The analysis focused on adults ages 18 years and older, of whom approximately 70% were interviewed and underwent medical examinations. The measures of interest include demographic information. Here, I point out that I was able to identify enough sample size for Hispanic immigrants, but due to lack of sampling power, I wasn't able to do any meaningful analysis for other minority immigrants, particularly Black immigrants. The other measures of interest include health outcomes. Here, obesity is measured as BMI, hypertension as blood pressure, and diabetes as glycohemoglobin. Analysis include chi-square tests to examine chronic condition prevalences and logistic regression to examine differences of chronic conditions by years of U.S. residency among Hispanic immigrants. The results of the study are as follows. Table 1 basically present results of demographic characteristics of racial and ethnic populations. And here are a few things to note. For the total sample, 51% of them were females. The mean age was 49%. The total sample also indicated that 63% were married, whereas 17% were never married. Compared to other racial and ethnic populations, Hispanic immigrants reported the highest rate of individuals with less than high school education and the lowest rate of individuals with a college degree or higher. Similarly, they reported the highest rate of individuals in the lowest income bracket and the lowest rate of individuals in the highest income bracket. Table 2 presents results of chronic conditions, prevalence of racial and ethnic populations. And here, a few things to note. Overall, the results are reflective of national trends in the prevalence of chronic conditions. So for instance, a third of this sample is obese. Hispanic immigrants generally reported lower prevalences of each of these chronic conditions, but particularly males reported the lowest prevalence of obesity and hypertension. Non-Hispanic whites had the lowest rates of obesity. African Americans generally had the highest rates of each of these chronic conditions, especially female African Americans. And finally, Hispanic Americans also reported the lowest rates of hypertension and diabetes. The next table presents results of prevalence of chronic conditions by years lived in the U.S. for Hispanic immigrants. And here, I quickly noticed that compared to Hispanic immigrants that have lived in the U.S. for less than 10 years, those who have lived in the U.S. for 20 or more years had at least a twofold increase in the prevalence of each of these chronic conditions. So what I ended up doing was running an odds ratio analysis to determine whether these trends still held true. And for the unadjusted odds ratio, I noted that these observations were still the same. So I ended up adjusting for age, gender, education, income, and marital status. And the results of this analysis basically indicate that compared to individuals who have been here for less than 10 years, Hispanic immigrants who have been here for 20 years or more have a 98% increase in their odds of being obese, 68% increase in their odds of being hypertensive, and just under 2.5-fold increase in their odds of being diabetic. The last table presents results of hypertension and diabetes prevalence by obesity status. And here, hypertension basically is higher for obese individuals than non-obese individuals. And similarly, diabetes rates are higher for obese individuals than non-obese individuals. What is also noted is that the prevalence of hypertension among obese African Americans was insignificant. And also for this table, it's important to mention that more complex analyses are needed just because there may be other factors that may be associated with these comorbidities that are not being taken into consideration. So the above findings basically are comparable to previous work that have looked at minority immigrants. So for instance, women had higher rates of obesity, whereas men had higher rates of hypertension. African Americans overall reported the highest rates of each of these chronic conditions. For Hispanic immigrants, we see that they generally have lower rates of chronic conditions compared to other racial and ethnic populations. But after teasing out the data further, we notice that those who have lived in the U.S. longer tend to have higher prevalence of each of these chronic conditions. And as I mentioned earlier, additional analysis is needed to examine differences in chronic comorbidities among obese individuals versus non-obese individuals. Some study limitations to note basically include the fact that this data source is based on a cross-sectional study design. Also, there were some sampling issues. For instance, Hispanic immigrants were mainly Hispanics from South America, although there wasn't a big enough sample size to really determine any differences by geographic region. And also, due to limited sampling power, we weren't able to conduct any meaningful analysis among other minority immigrant populations. I will quickly conclude by mentioning a few things. First, this study differs from previous work that used self-reported health information. Health outcomes were measured using standardized medical measures. Also, the race and ethnicity variable included enough sample size to conduct meaningful analysis for at least one specific minority immigrant population. It is observed that Hispanic immigrants living in the U.S. are similarly affected by chronic conditions as other racial and ethnic groups, but the realization that these immigrants experience higher prevalences of chronic conditions the longer they reside in the U.S. is especially disconcerting. Particular attention is needed to monitor the health of minority immigrants, especially because we need to better understand the mechanisms by which the health advantages initially experienced by these immigrants are reversed the longer they reside in the U.S. I end by quickly acknowledging Case Western Reserve University, the institution at which the study was initially begun.